This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. A months-long investigation into court records by a citizen-led group has turned up hard data on racial disparities in how people are charged with felony crimes in one of Michigan's most populous and progressive counties. It may or may not surprise you to know that Black citizens are charged more often with felonies than white people in Washtenaw County, often for the same crimes. Former state lawmaker Alma Wheeler Smith is now with Citizens for Racial Equality in Washtenaw. Alma Wheeler Smith, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, April. I'm delighted to be here on behalf of CREW.
So the charging of defendants is one piece of citizens' interaction with the legal system. We might also talk about police interactions, arrests, convictions, or sentencing data. How did you know that charging was an area that you wanted to dig in on?
Well, we looked for where we had data here in the county, and it actually came from the circuit court. And in looking at the cases at the circuit court, we of course saw that the prosecutor's office was bringing very concentrated charges, multiple charges for people of color, and not quite as heavily charging white people in the county. So we dug into that data, and while the prosecutor's office was very clear with us that they didn't keep data based on race, age, or income, they had nothing to share with us. So we worked backwards from the circuit court data to look at what the charges were and how frequently they were brought, what the findings were, the conclusions of the trial, and then what the sentencing was.
Well, what did the collection of data show?
Well, we were startled. It revealed that there were wide racial disparities in the prosecutor's decisions, impacting things as who was charged, the average number of charges, and the average number of convictions per case. So we were startled by that finding. We knew anecdotally that people were saying it was biased. We knew from the fact that a disproportionate number of Black people were arriving in the prosecutor's office and in the court. But we had no hard numbers. So the data certainly confirmed that we aren't any different than the nation or any other county so far, because we are the only county so far that's looked at this in Michigan anyway. So showed us we have disparities. They had also showed us that we're not collecting data that would inform us on how justice is being meted out in the county. It's one thing to not want to know, I guess. And then the other is to have data and now never look at it to see if you are achieving your goals of even-handedness and equal justice.
How were you able to show that people of different races were being charged differently for the same crimes?
The statistics showed that as we looked at specific cases and specific charges. We looked at 3,600 felony charges across 11 categories. Some of them were homicide, arrest, weapons violations. And we looked at the specific numbers. We compared those charged against Black folks and the charges against white folks for the same crimes. And we were able to determine that there was a disparate number of times that people of color were convicted and sentenced more harshly than white people in the county. So, you know, it raised questions. And that's one of the things that we did with this report was to bring questions forward so that there could be a deeper dive into the information by the entities that we did have a chance to look at and hopefully going forward into those that we didn't look at but who are heavily engaged in the criminal legal system.
Did you come to any conclusions about why this happens?
Well, we know that there are a number of factors involved in why somebody is convicted. But by and large, we have to say that it's not just criminal history alone that explains racial differences in the charging and sentencing outcomes, but it is very clear that it is a major factor. So I have to say it looks like bias, and it may be intentional It may be unintentional. We didn't dig into that. We didn't have the materials that would let us do that. But we definitely see that there is work to be done to dispense equal justice here in the county.
Just briefly, could you tell us, were you able to get any answers from the county on these disparities?
No, but we're hoping to have a better conversation. We had an immediate response from Ellie Savitt, who is our prosecutor-elect, since he doesn't have any opposition in November, and from Judge Carol Kuhnke, saying that they are willing to look at the information that we have provided and take a deeper study of the issues that we've raised. So that's hopeful.
Alma Wheeler-Smith is co-chair of Citizens for Racial Equality in Washtenaw. Alma, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.
If anyone is in a position to begin addressing these problems, it's the candidate likely to become Washtenaw County's next prosecuting attorney. With longtime prosecutor Brian Mackey retiring, the county's getting a new lead prosecutor for the first time in about 30 years. And it will very likely be Eli Savitt, who won a heated three-way Democratic primary. He has, at this time, no Republican challenger for the fall. Eli Savitt, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me on.
We know that Washtenaw County has a problem with race playing a part in the charging process, and we know issues of systemic racism reach into the sentencing phase of trials, as well as many, many other areas of criminal justice. How do you propose the county go about reversing the trends in charging?
Well, one thing that I campaigned on is to have an independent third-party evaluator work with the prosecutor's office and identify every point in the system where we're seeing racially disparate treatment. You know, this is work that's been done in other prosecutors' offices across the country. Milwaukee, Mecklenburg, North Carolina, San Diego have all partnered with independent third-party evaluators to assess their practices and ensure that nobody is getting treated differently because of their race. There's a number of places where I think we could potentially see that. We could see it in charging decisions and how many charges are being brought for a similar type of incident, on the severity of the charges, whether somebody's charged at all. We can see it in the plea bargaining process, who gets better deals, you know, according to race. And that's what I promised when I campaigned. And that is one of the recommendations in the CREW report. And we've already started the process of reaching out to partners and potentially getting a great third-party evaluator in place that can help us root out and eliminate these disparities.
What specific remedies do you think would get us to the heart of what happens in the charging process?
So the truth of the matter is, with the CREW report, we see the net outcomes. And the CREW report indicates that we don't know precisely what is driving them. One of the things that I'm going to be very interested to take a look at is, okay, you know, what we see in the CREW report is that Black people are between 3 and 30 times more likely to be charged with certain types of felony offenses. What we don't see is how many of those charges and are being reported to the prosecutor's office by law enforcement and referred to the prosecutor's office by law enforcement. Are we seeing racially disparate impacts from, you know, where police are policing and the types of charges that they're bringing up to the prosecutor's office? Are we seeing the prosecutor's office decide to pursue charges for certain types of crime categories more frequently for Black people than for similarly situated white people? When you have a similar type of incident, are you seeing charges being harsher for Black people than for white people? Whereas a white person might get a lower charge, a Black person may get one that carries more severe consequences. We just don't know any of that. These are the types of questions that I'm going to be looking to answer with our third-party evaluator. What we do know from the CREW report is that we have tremendously racially disparate outcomes, but it just scratches the surface of the issues. And that's why I'm looking forward to partnering with somebody independent that can help us get to the bottom of it.
One of the things that is very widely known in criminal justice circles, but I think is less widely known for folks who may have never had an encounter with the system, is the way that prosecutors sometimes rely on the charging process to get cooperation from defendants. They might say, for example, if someone has died, if someone has been killed, that, you know, if we have your cooperation with this case, we might charge you with some kind of misdemeanor. But if you refuse to cooperate, you know, we may end up charging you with a felony. What happens if prosecutors have less full use of tools within the charging process?
Well, you know, let me just say this. Plea bargaining, which is the genesis of a lot of this, in the words of the United States Supreme Court, is not some adjunct to the criminal justice system. It is the justice system. And, you know, 95% of cases are disposed of in our justice system via plea bargain. We all think of the criminal justice system as taking place before a judge and a jury and having a full trial. But the reality is, for the vast, vast majority of people that come through our criminal justice system, that's not the case. What happens is they reach an agreement with the prosecutors and a recommended sentence, and the judge signs off on it, and there's no trial usually at all. So that places a tremendous responsibility in the prosecutor's office to conduct plea bargaining fairly. And, you know, what I said, and I said this throughout the campaign, I'm not an opponent of plea bargaining because, you know, it can help somebody get their life back on track. There's instances where, you know, you want to reward potentially cooperation with law enforcement and helping, you know, solve a murder, for example. But we need to make sure that plea bargaining is conducted fairly. And what I do oppose is what I call coercive plea bargaining, which is the process of stacking up multiple charges, including some that maybe are based on dubious evidence that it may be very difficult for the prosecutor to ultimately prove up at trial, or charging somebody with a much more severe crime than the circumstances warrant in an effort to gain leverage in those plea bargaining negotiations. So I'm not somebody who thinks that plea bargaining should be off the table, or that it shouldn't be a tool for prosecutors to use, or frankly, a tool for, you know, defendants to use to get on with their life where the evidence of guilt is overwhelming, and, you know, to move forward and to take responsibility. The justice system in America right now, frankly, isn't set up to where we can just disregard plea bargaining and not use it. But it needs to be conducted fairly. And what I do oppose is the bringing of charges, the filing of charges that are not in the interest of justice, that the evidence does not dictate, solely for the purpose of gaining leverage over a defendant whose freedom, whose life may be on the line, to try to get them to plead to something that, you know, you wanted them to plead to in the first place.
Prosecutors traditionally have a highly entwined relationship with police. If officers see that some of the prosecutions aren't forthcoming for people they have arrested for what police might believe could be a felony charge, how do you see yourself being able to maintain your relationship with police departments and the sheriff's office in Washtenaw County?
Well, I'm hoping that we can work together in this. You know, I would hope that our partners in police agree with me that, you know, if there are going to be consequences for something that somebody has done, it should be because of what you did, not because of who you are. None of us should accept racial inequity or differential treatment in our justice system based on the color of somebody's skin. You know, and frankly, this is the reason that we have a prosecutor's office as a gateway, and that law enforcement doesn't, directly pursue charges. That's the division of responsibility in our justice system, and it is incumbent on the prosecutor to exercise discretion and to only bring charges that the prosecutor thinks are in the interest of justice. I'm optimistic. I think we have a number of great law enforcement partners here in Washtenaw County. I am very optimistic, including our great sheriff, Jerry Clayton, that we can work together to root out and eliminate this racial inequity, but it needs to be a top priority for everyone. And I don't think any of us in law enforcement or in prosecution should accept what is often the reality, that we are seeing people treated differentially because of their race.
You've done several different kinds of legal work and some very important jobs. You've clerked for Supreme Court justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg, served as an attorney for the city of Detroit. What makes your skill set right for this problem, while still being able to maintain relationships with, you know, prosecutors of experience within the office and with law enforcement?
Thank you. So absolutely. You know, I think that my background, which is as somebody that has litigated civil rights and public interest cases throughout my career, is what we need in this moment, and especially in light of this report showing these tremendous disparities on the basis of race. You know, I've worked with law enforcement partners throughout my career, including at the city of Detroit. So, you know, I do have experience working there. But I think we need a civil rights lens on prosecution and on the criminal justice system right now. We are at a point in history where people are recognizing the catastrophic effects of our era of mass incarceration, of, you know, a system in which in the United States of America, we lock up more people per capita than any country on earth. And, you know, Black people are up to 6 times as likely to serve time in prison as white people in the United States. I think we're having a real moment right now where we're reckoning with that. And we're recognizing that change needs to happen in the justice system. And to that end, I think it's important to have people in prosecutors' offices that take a civil rights lens to this, that are focused on equity, that are focused on turning the page on the era of mass incarceration and of the era in which, you know, we criminalized addiction and mental illness and in many cases poverty as well. This is the important work for building a 21st century justice system. I think change is long overdue. And I think my skill set and my background and frankly, where my civil rights heart is, makes me a good fit for the office right now. And I'm looking forward to working alongside partners to do this important work.
Just briefly, tell us about where you'd like to put the goalposts for this issue. When should the public expect to hold your office accountable for moving the needle on this issue?
Well, you know, this depends on how quickly we can get in place a third-party evaluator to come in and get started with the work. The truth of the matter is, I would like to start it even before I take office. Of course, that's, you know, I'm not the prosecutor yet, and that would require, you know, partnerships with either the current prosecutor's office or, you know, potentially the county commission could play a role in this. And we will put out a timeline as soon as we have those partnerships in place for, you know, when a report can be expected, when we will be able to identify the points in the system where we are seeing racially disparate treatment. And after that, I do want to be held accountable because, you know, once we identify those points in the system, we will be enacting policies to address them. So, you know, I don't have a date certain yet because we don't have a partner in place because I'm not in office yet. This evaluation will likely take a little bit of time, but as quickly as we can get it done, I'm committed to doing, and I absolutely want to be held accountable for the actions of my office thereafter.
Eli Savitt will be on the ballot this fall for prosecuting attorney for Washtenaw County. And again, there is no Republican challenger in this race. Eli Savitt, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.